I want you, if you turn with me in your Bible tonight, we started on Sunday a series on confession and introduced that subject, and I think maybe I introduced it a little bit too much. I went a little ahead of myself, but it's okay. So this is a series on confession, and I've done this before many years ago, but I haven't done it in succession. I've done one or two here and there. And so we're talking about the four kinds of confession. Our topic are four kinds of confession. And the title I use tonight is The Right Confession. Our title is The Right Confession. And we're going to use four scriptural texts, and we'll make some comment on it and in supernatural praise. Thank God. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, our first scripture. Our second scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And then our third scripture is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And our fourth scripture is Hebrews chapter 4, 14. And I forget sometimes that I was talking to a pastor the other day, that a teaching ministry is a whole lot different than a preaching ministry. I was just kind of reminded, and I'm going to be ministering in Saskatoon in a few weeks at a conference, and I think I was invited by Jim Christian, and Jim, what's his name, Pastor Jim Randall from Saskatoon to participate in a conference. And he's asking me, I know you're a teaching ministry, but do you actually minister also in the Spirit? Do you pray in the do you minister in the Holy Ghost? I said, we might try. We could do that. And so anyway, they just wanted to make me aware that they require me to minister in the Spirit. I said, I'll pull out a few tricks from the years gone by, and I'll carry a couple. Maybe I should invite Pastor Dave come with me and a few others just to help me get into the happy mode. And so so I'll be traveling there for a conference, and I'll be there for 3 days and then minister at a church at the City Center Church. And so I'll be there for on a Sunday morning as well. So that's going to be a couple of weeks. So if you're in the area, so we'd like to have you come and visit us as well. Praise God. Amen. You can join virtually. And registration online. You can register online and get the connection right there. So I'll maybe talk to them and say you'd like to join. So, all right. I think you know Jim Christian, the Christian. So you can connect with them as well. So, okay, let's go to... In fact, we are partners. Spirit Alive is partners with Jim Christian. So we decided that we want to help other ministries that we feel that's connected with us. And so we are sending Jim Christian every month an offering. And so we're gonna actually increase it this coming year to bless them every month and help them in their ministry. And so we're doing a whole lot of that. We're sowing seed to other ministries, and We've sown some other seeds to other churches who are actually developing new churches. So we sent one church that we're connected to, a faith church, a $5,000 offering, and they bought a small building, pretty much close to $1 million somewhere. I don't want to exaggerate too much. I think it was $750,000 for a small building. You can fit only three people in there. That's how small it is. It feels like it's so small. But in Toronto, it's hardly hard to get good. It's outside of the city, so it's one of the suburb areas. And so, Faith City Church. Also, we were able to sow another $5,000 there, Faith City Church, Geraldton, because we just bought a building. I didn't buy a building, but they did. And so, we're able to sow $5,000. Then we had another church. We had sowed another $5,000. And we kept sowing seed, and money kept coming back to us. Amen. And so this year has been one of the better years of my 33 years of pastoring. in the ministry to see the increase that's come in the church. And so we confess, continually confess, that we'll never need anything. That Jesus is our shepherd and we shall not lack for anything. And so we make confession, we sow seed, and it's coming. So your giving is not going to come to me. Your seed, your harvest is not going to come to me unless you give me your harvest. So when you sow seed, it comes to you. It's your giving. Your harvest, your giving. So when you sow seeds, you know, you need to believe that God will bless you. And speak over your seed. Don't just give one time and forget about it. Say, I guess that's not going to work. No, begin to speak over to the Father in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you that money is coming to me. I want to thank you for this seed sown. And it's coming back to me. So that's how things work. Amen. So thank God for that. And we give God praise for meeting every one of our needs, because he said he would meet our needs. And so we thank God for that. Did you find scriptures yet? All right. So let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Then went out of him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Everybody say confessing their sins. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, King James Version. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, thou shalt believe, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or have right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Everybody say, confession is made unto salvation. 1 John 1, 9, King James Version says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody say, confess our sins. Hebrews 4, 14, King James Version, seeing that we had a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus is our high priest. What is Jesus doing now? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. And whatever you say about your life, Jesus is going to make sure it'll happen in your life. The Bible says that Jesus, over here, we finished that, let's finish it. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That word profession, actually in the Greek, is the word confession. If you look at the King James Version, a good King James Version, it has an asterisk there. It'll show you at the bottom of your page that's the correct translation is confession. If you look in the Amplified Version, you'll see that word is confession. So it gives us that. So we see here confession in both these four scriptures. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 5, 4 and 5, this is concerning John the Baptist, who was baptizing Jews who were acknowledging and confessing their sins. They were God's covenant people. So John the Baptist was going out. You know, he is a cousin of Jesus. He was going out helping them acknowledge that they were sinning against God and that they were coming to God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, Paul made this statement concerning the confession of Jesus for salvation. For anyone, in order to be saved, must confess Jesus as Lord, or the Lordship of Jesus Christ for their salvation. In 1 John 1, 9, the Apostle John speaks of the confession of a person's sin to get back in line or get back in fellowship with God, because he broke fellowship with God by sinning or living a sinful lifestyle. In Hebrews chapter 4, 14, Paul makes a statement of the believer and his or her confession of faith in God and his word. So as we mentioned, the word profession in Hebrews 4:14 is actually the Greek word confession, which we had discussed on Monday, which means the Greek word is homologio, which means literally means to confess the same as God would. To confess, to make confession, or to say the same thing. Everybody say the same thing. In other words, if God said something in His Word, you're going to make the same confession. You'll say the same thing. So let me just introduce this a little bit more. People get into confusion regarding the teaching of confession in the New Testament and in the church. And over the years, as a pastor, the last 30-plus years, I've seen this happening. Even in our circles where they should have more information, many people only know about confession concerning sins and not much confession about their faith. The Bible has much to say about confession. Everybody say one kind of confession. So many understand and the need to confess one sin, and many understand that there is a confession in the negative, you know. And like, for instance, people understand the confession and the need to confess of a crime they've committed. You know, you get a chance to do that in court. They say, how do you plead? I plead guilty. You know, so you need to confess that. You should be, and most people try to fight their way out of it. Another confession is when somebody sins. So that's also a negative confession. Confess a sin or a wrong or a mistake. That's kind of a negative connotation and meaning regarding that confession. But there's a positive side to confession. The confession of positive things that the Bible says about us. You know, God tells us that you're victorious. And the Bible says that you're righteous. You know, and the Bible says you're strong. The Bible says you're an overcomer. The Bible says you're healed. The Bible says you're delivered. And lots of folks, they don't make those confessions because it's not true on the natural level at the moment. But in reality, according to the Bible, it's already there. It's true, but they have not made the statement and come in line with the Word of God to make that statement, because they only confess what they see or what they're experiencing, when in fact we should be confessing what we don't see, but what we see with our spiritual eyes in order to make that a reality. Are you with me? So many have mistaken or have taken confession to also to an extreme and say things out of context and have gotten themselves into unnecessary difficulty or problems. People can take a Bible teaching into excess or an extreme and make things take things out of context, even like, say, for instance, water baptism or the last days or eschatology, if you want to put it. They'll take things like the rapture and say things there about rapture that maybe might be wrong. They say different things about it. The second coming of Jesus or the Last Supper or prosperity or tithing and so forth. The people say a lot of things that are not necessarily biblical, and they say things out of context and get into trouble. And so you can take confession to an extreme and get into trouble. Let me just give you some practical examples of confessions that were taken out of context. And over the years, I've noticed this myself, and I believe we've been taught by the best people in the world regarding this. We sat under Brother Hagin personally, and we sat under Pastor Hagin and many others who taught us. You know, like people like Fred Price, and he's gone to be with the Lord now. Different ones, we believe this is true. And just because something's not real in your life at the moment doesn't mean it's not true. So, say for instance, You know, Brother Higgins made this statement, you cannot violate laws or natural laws make confessions and believe in the, you know, get away with things, you know, and not have anything bad happen to you. For instance, he says, for example, as I mentioned, you can't make confessions and violate natural laws like safety. He said one family one time lost a child because they didn't take care to watch over that child. They had a pool around their house, and someone came around and said, you know what, hey, you better watch that child because that child will drown. They said, you can't confess that off on me. We've already loosed the angels of God around our home and around our children, and nothing is going to happen to that person. The next day, the child died. And whose fault was it? You can make a confession, but you can't violate safety rules. And go ahead and say, I don't care what anybody says. I'm just going to just confess it. You know, so that's wrong. So that makes it like, you know, people like us is crazy. So that's not what you're going to do. You know, you can't just say that. So here's another example. There was people that was supposed to be training on the job. And they were given safety procedures and policies and training and so on, and they took the training all right, but when they went to work, they didn't observe the safety laws. And so there's one place they were working, there's one guy supposed to pull a safety switch for something, and they were working with electricity, and he's supposed to step on this mat. Make sure that math is there and just pull this lever and shut down or start something. And so they didn't do that. They didn't take the mat and just went ahead and pulled that and zap. And the person died. And they were told, you know, follow laws. Follow safety rules. Stay within the parameter of natural laws. And you can confess everything you want about safety and angels and so forth, but if you're not going to obey laws, you're going to get burnt somewhere down the road. And so you have to follow regulations and laws, because God has, you know, put that down there for us so that we can follow different things, you know. And of course, you know, there's a right time and right place to do certain things. And there was one time another person, you know, they were saying, you know, well, I can't control my children. You know, they were just young teenagers and, you know, just about coming of age. And said, I can't control my children. I don't know what to do with them. Come to the pastor and they said, you know, we can't control our kids. They're just running all over the town and doing all these kind of things, getting into trouble. So what we did is we just go ahead, let them go, and we turn them over to God. And so they found the kids got into trouble, and you know, one of them, one of the girls, you know, got you know, pregnant out of wedlock and got into trouble. And so they said that we turn them over to God. No, the Bible says that as parents, we have to take care of our children until they come to a place where they make their own decisions. Now, you can't just force your adult child, if he's out of your home and old, you can't force them to do things, but you can sure take care of your kids when they're little and bring them to church until they can make their own decisions. And when you start paying your own bills, you can go and do whatever you want to do, you know. So anyway, so that person got into trouble. So God tells us to train up a child, and we should take care. We can't just violate rules. We got to take care of where we need to take care and do what we're supposed to do. Yes, make confessions where we need to make confession, where appropriate, but not just go ahead and not follow the rules and follow and believe that you can override it by neglecting your responsibility. Can anybody hear me on that one? Okay, so that's what we're saying. You know, say we take COVID for example. They tell us to wash your hands, stay, you know, so many feet from people and so on and so forth. And, you know, shake the dust off your feet or whatever they tell you to do. You know, and do different things like that. So, and or whatever. And so you don't go and violate, and you go lick, you know, doorknobs and try to prove that, you know, I mean, you don't normally do that. I see Pastor Ken doing it regularly. No, I'm just kidding. You know, so we always tease each other. We said this last time when we were talking together, me and him, we said, you know, we talked about, we mentioned it. You can't be, well, you're not like John G. Lake. You know, he took a bunch of, what was it again? Bubonic plague, put on his hand. They said, I was going to show you. And then they put it on the microphone. I don't know how they do that, if they actually let him do that. They should have slapped him around a little bit after that. And they played around with this thing. And apparently he said, you can put that on my hand and it'll die. And it did die. But then he told me he died early. I understand what I'm talking about. You see? You know? Are you guys doing okay? Because I'm being serious here. But at the same time, some of you are looking at me like, hey, what are you talking about? I'm trying to be, you know, serious about it at the same time. You know, there might be, you know, something funny about it. And something funny about it sometimes. You know, we're kind of weird sometimes as Ojibwe people, because we joke about things you should never, ever laugh about. But in a public setting like this, we're gonna edit it anyway. So you're talking to somebody here that's, you know, like I mentioned many times before. So what does the Bible say about confession? So there are some confessions that are mentioned in the Bible. We'll give you four of those there. So first, God taught confession of sins, and he's taught his people to confess, his people, his own people, Israelites, to confess the need to confess when they've sinned against God. They had to do that. And to come and confess later that there is a Savior coming. He told them, you need to confess your sin, but there is someone coming, and that's Jesus, and you're going to soon have to confess him as Lord down the road. And so we see those four scriptures in succession there. God teaches us different things, you know, about confession, the believer's confession, the confession of the Jewish people of their sin, the confession of a person to get saved, to be born again. And a person's, after they're saved, they need to confess. If they're wrong, confess their sin so that they can get right with God. And then, you know, first of all, before that, you can confess Jesus to get saved, to come into the kingdom of God. So you started your life of confession by confessing Jesus as your Lord to get into the kingdom of God, and everything else works the same way after that. You confess him as Lord, then you have to confess him. Every other promise that comes to you will come the same way. And so, you know, we talked about this to an extent on the last time we talked about that God teaches us, the believer, to confess their faith of what they have in Christ, what they have in Christ. And we've mentioned that there is 130 plus scriptures. Somebody said 133 or more scriptures that say what you have in Christ in the New Testament. So 130 plus scriptures that say who you are in Christ because of him, who you are, you know, what you have in him, through him, in him, with him, all those scriptures that are there. And so it tells you in there that these are things that you have in him. So let me just go to the scripture verse with you over here. Let's go to Philemon chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. It says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Paul is talking to this person here. Verse 5. And it says, verse 5, hearing of your love and your faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Verse 6, that the communication of thy faith, some say the acknowledging of thy faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. here's something to think about that we need to start confessing by acknowledging what we have because of Jesus. Because you're born again, what do you actually have? Well, they tell us you need to confess basically who you are in Christ. You're a child of God. You're just not forgiven. You're a new person. You're a new person in Christ. And if you were to die, you'd be in the presence of God. So you're just not forgiven. You have a new spirit. You're a brand new heart. You have a brand new heart. So you have to confess who you are, confess that you are a child of God, confess that God is your very Father. And to confess that you are in the family of God and say, Lord, I want to thank you. I belong to you. I'm in your family. I'm your child. And you've made provision for me. I think I can come to your very presence. We need to confess who we are. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. We are a family that is of God. We're born of God. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. We're a brand new spirit. And so you need to confess that. You need to confess what you have in Christ. Because of Jesus, what do you have?
Victory.
You know, you got so much. The Bible talks about of you've attained, you've got an inheritance because of you've come to Christ. You've inherited something. Find out what it is. And then you have to also confess what you can do through Christ. You can do a lot of things because of Jesus. And start making that a confession of your faith. So, we don't want to be extreme and say things that are out of context and make like we're, you know, crazy. But you have to confess who you are in Jesus. Now, you can't just make confessions in Christ in front of somebody who doesn't know you. Say, for instance, you went to a doctor, your doctor's not born again, and he tells you got this, and you said, I don't believe that, I don't accept that. Well, you could, but you don't have to. Why would you do that? He's trying to tell you something. You don't have to tell him that. You know? And first of all, if you want to make friends, don't say stuff like that. Don't say things that they don't understand. It's like casting your pearls before swine. They won't understand it. So sometimes Christians, when they're uneducated in spiritual things, they say things and do things in front of people who don't understand them. And they say, they're being persecuted. No, you were just being dumb and being stupid. Right? So you can't just do things in extreme measure just because you want to exercise your spiritual, physical, your spiritual muscles. So you don't want to do that. They say, you want to... A doctor, you want to hear me speak in tongues? I can speak in tongues. He said, here's the door. The door is over here. And don't let it injure you on your way out. Okay, so where are we going with this? So we talked about the faith, confession of faith of the believer in Bible promises. Let's notice something over here. James chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. It says here, is any sick among you? Meaning that there shouldn't have been. Because James is mentioning, is there anybody sick among you? When in fact, they shouldn't have been because they had a covenant. They were Jewish Christians. They had a covenant before. Now they're coming to Jesus. Now they shouldn't be because they know that Jesus made provision for them. He said, is any among you sick? You know? And so he goes on to say, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, in the prayer of faith. Everybody say the prayer of faith. Because we know the prayer of faith is a good confession of faith. You're not going to say, Lord, we're praying for brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. We're praying. We know he has COVID-19 and the severity of it is very real and very strong. We pray for his healing. If it's your will, heal sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. If not, let him die. No, if it be thy will. So you know that if you pray, if you ask someone the prayer of faith, it's always going to be positive. It's not going to be, it might. They're going to confess, it may be, or there's a percentage. Lord, we know there's a percentage of these people will be healed. No, if you're praying the prayer of faith, you're going to pray. We pray for divine health, divine healing in the name of Jesus, according to your word. We thank you for it right now. We're rejoicing in Jesus' name. And then, the person doesn't always jump up right away and do cartwheels if they were in ICU. It could happen, but it probably will never happen 99% of the time. There's sometimes it does. Like me and Pastor Ken went in the one room one time. A guy was they were unconscious. And so we laid hands, and the guy went, and they said he never moved for a long time, so we went in there with faith. We didn't say, we're going to try this and see what happens. No, we went in there with faith. And I checked with the family first. I said, so why would you want me to pray? They said, well, we want a man of God. Well, that's me. I'm a man of God. I'm going in there. They said, we just want to see what you can do. They say, I ain't going in there. You go there. Then you're going to blame God and get mad at me because I'm not in faith. I don't have any kind of anointing. I have anointing. Even Jesus himself couldn't do that. If Jesus was there and they said, go ahead and try it, Jesus, he couldn't have done it himself. Because Jesus just couldn't do anything and override people's faith. If you really study the Bible. So anyway, he says, the prayer fails to save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So there's a connection between healing and confession. I said there is a connection between confessing your fault and your sin and getting healed. That's Bible. If you're trying to live in a way, shady way, and you believe that you can stay in health, you got something else coming to you. That God sees everything. You might hide with somebody, but God sees everything. Just like me, you know, when I got saved, I smoked for a little while. I carried as far as I could. I couldn't wait till after service to get in my car to just light up, man. Sometimes I'd be driving on Memorial Avenue and see some of my sheep smoking away, driving a car. I don't say anything. I say, look at you, you stupid little black sheepy. No, you don't say stuff like that. But, you know, you see people doing stuff. So anyway, we've all been there. I've done it. I've done it for a long time. I started smoking. I kept cigarettes in my pocket. The more you go to church like this, worshiping God, and the anointing hits me, and I'm just, woo, I'm drunk. And I had that cigarette in my pocket, and I said this to myself, see, God doesn't mind if I smoke. He even blesses me. But God dealt with me. Sooner or later, he dealt with me. See, God lets you get away because you don't know enough for a while, but he'll deal with you to your level. And that's why it's very hard to try to judge somebody else because you don't know what they've been through and what they know. Verse 16, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another. So here's confession and prayer. One another that you may be healed. There's healing. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So confession and healing go together. Here in these Bible verses, some confessions must be done before healing comes. Notice that the following scripture concerning healing and health. Let's go over here to very quickly to 1 Corinthians 11, 26 to 31, the King James Version. For all you King James, you must be, oh, this is wonderful tonight. He's wearing his King James jacket tonight. For as often as you eat this bread, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself. Himself. You don't go around looking at your beady little eyes Sunday morning and say, look it, I'm going to examine everybody else. Make sure they're coming in line. No. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 29, for he that drinketh and eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or condemnation, the translation is, to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Everybody said not discerning. The Lord's body. So what is he talking about? There's two things, the Lord's body, spiritually, and the Lord's body, naturally speaking. For this cause, or for this reason, many are weak. I wonder if many are weak emotionally, mentally, because they're doing something wrong. If you want to be strong mentally, emotionally, and we can be, if you want to. When you're sinning, and you're sinning a little bit, you're only hurting your own confidence. That God might not heal you, or you might not get that prayer answered, but when you are free in God, you have such confidence in God that God will answer you and hear you every time. You're living by your convictions. And so here, for this cause or reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or many die prematurely. If you would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So we see here confession that is necessary, acknowledging, confessing you're wrong when you're wrong, and not judging your brother, not judging your making criticisms, at the prime minister online, and you put it on the Facebook, and you're telling everybody what you think about who needs to be corrected, because I'm going to correct everybody. I'm the spiritual, Holy Ghost helper. And so we ain't supposed to be, doing that kind of thing. So, according to the scriptures, the only cause for sickness is of being in the, or any cause of sickness in the church, is not confessing their wrongs, their sins. It says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, many have died early. What's the cause? It's not discerning the Lord's body. So we have to confess what Jesus has done for us. If we're going to be healed, we've got to confess Jesus died so that I can be well. That's the confession. And we have to confess that maybe perhaps that we have not been so nice to people in the body of Christ. Now, you don't have to, if you're mad at someone, you criticize them, they don't know anything about it. You don't have to go to them and say, hey, listen, I've been criticizing you a long, long time. You don't have to do that. I remember somebody saying to me, listen, I want to just confess to you. And I thought all the time they loved me. I didn't need to know all that. I want to tell you how much I hated you and, and so on, so on, so on, so on. It doesn't matter. You don't have to do that. Confess it to God because they don't know anyway, these guys, unless you did something bad and it's all over the online. Hey, where are you going? Okay. So anyway, so let's be kind to one another, not so critical. So here's something that I heard a story years ago. Brother Hagin told us a story about a worldwide minister who was in the forefront of the healing ministry in 1947 and 1958. There was a healing revival on in America, and the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin and said, listen, I want you to go to Brother so-and-so, talk to him about this, because I want you to tell him to start acknowledging his sins and correct himself, repent. And so this went on for some time, so he finally went. He said, here's what he has to confess. Confess with his mouth his wrong, because that'll keep you from healing. So the Bible said, confess your faults to one another, you may be healed, and so on. So he said, I want confess, tell him that he needs to He needs to repent and confess himself that he has not been walking in love towards his fellow ministers. Because he's a big man of God, and he started, you know, hurting other ministries in the town wherever he went, and started treating people really rough. And then the other thing he said, that he needs to repent himself in the area of money. He loves money. You can't just be in ministry for money. It's good to have money, though. Right? I mean, and the other one is confess, the fact that, you know, he said the man eats like a hog. He's got to watch his diet. He's eating himself. One time he said, you know, some people are just digging their grave by just eating. So he needs to repent on that. So at 38 years old, the guy passed away. And so we need to learn something from these things, you know, stories. These are illustration stories for us to learn from because, you know, we learn from our elders. We learn from people's mistakes. If they make a mistake, we don't have to do them. And so that's why we mentioned those stories. So he had to judge himself. So 1 Corinthians 11 says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. The scripture says, God will take sickness away from us if we keep his word. He says over here in Exodus 15:26, listen to this. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will keep that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes and put none of these diseases, the actual translation says, I will not allow any of these diseases. It makes it seem in the King James Version that God was actually putting sickness on the people, but he was not. If you study the Bible, you understand this. He said, I will allow these to come upon you. You know, I've seen, I don't know, maybe you have seen, I've talked to different people. The doctor tells someone, listen, you got to change your diet. And if you don't change your diet very shortly, in the number of years, whatever you have, your quality of life will really go down and then you'll die from this disease. So change your diet, exercise, get away, keep away from this, do this and do that. But some people just didn't do it. And they say that the Lord took him. Well, the Lord had to take him because they took themselves. If the Lord tells you something, I mean, if a doctor says something to you, then obey your doctor. Don't say, doctor, don't confess that off on me. Right? They say, listen, you better exercise yourself, doctor, because I can see right there you got a few pounds. So you know, we have to learn, you know, take things, you know, we live in a natural world. We have a natural body. He talked about over here. Remember talking about this man who was a healing minister, and he had such a tremendous healing ministry, and he never really took time off, just kind of work, and because he loved what he was doing, but he wouldn't take any time off. And so he ends up getting really sick, wore himself out, prayed for people for days, meetings go on till the way out of the night, and prayed for thousands of people, hundreds of people, and just completely wore himself out. And he went to the doctor. The doctor said, you have no disease or sickness. You just wore yourself right out. And the person died. See, we have a natural body. And you got to eat, but not too much. And you got to exercise. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. I'm just kind of looking at those people online. They need to exercise. Yes. So we need to judge yourself. And that's 1 Corinthians tells something, 11 there. We need to judge yourself. Or else God has to, you know, deal with you. And, you know, God is he's very patient with us. In fact, he's so patient that the sickness will get to you before he gets to you. Seriously. He'll allow you to do whatever you want to do. Like driving on the wrong side of the highway. when you're going around the corner. Or driving too quickly. Like my wife and I, we were driving, and somehow like we skid out. I'm glad I stayed on the road in this weather. So I need some help with my four wheel. Let's go ahead and close. This is a good place to close right here. We don't want to confess anything bad. Lord, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We continue on the confession of faith that we're going to begin to acknowledge every good thing in us in Christ Jesus. Stand up, everybody. Everybody say this. Say, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Say, I can do things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, I call myself healed. I call myself developed. Developed. I'm developed. That's because I had too much food in my stomach. Glory to God. I told my wife, you know, I said, I looked at myself, I came in the house. I said, you know what? I don't look like that too bad. I'm not that fat. He said, oh, you look pretty good. You look like you're medium. He said, you don't look thin, but, you know, you got a little bit of chubby there, but, you know. So anyway, you got to love yourself the way you are, right? Praise God. Lord, we love ourselves. Say, I love myself. Say, I love peanut butter. No. Say, I love myself. I was thinking about this because of, you know, remember Sesame Street? I love peanut butter. Well, God loves you. I love you too. And you all have a nice night in the name of Jesus. We can't use this video for television. Right? God bless you. Have a good night, guys. In the name of Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, this is the next time to come to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want what Roma has, but not all this crazy stuff. And I accept Jesus as my Lord. Jesus, come in my life. I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. If you do that, you will be saved. And if you've been away from God, say, God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Wash me with your blood, and I'll be cleansed. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Very quickly. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll see you Sunday.